We got to grab our man Hummer because he is, he's slaving over a hot laptop. He's breaking stories left and right. He knows more than he can even tell us. Hole in one, Hummer. How you doing, Hummer?
Doing good, man. What's up?
What's up, Hummer? We're just trying to wait for your next tweet to learn some news. Get some scoop. Anything you've broken in the last 5 minutes that we need to promote?
No, definitely not. I don't think so. Right. I appreciate it, though. Unless you care about a former, like a Florida linebacker going in the portal, I don't think that's necessary.
I mean, unless he's coming to Texas.
I don't think he's quite Texas quality anymore. He was a top 100 recruit back in the day. So,
okay. You know. Okay.
But I don't, nothing Texas wise for you at the moment.
Okay. At the moment. Stay tuned. Make sure you're following Hummer on the social media.
Not all of us can break that Arch Manning's coming back to school trip.
Hey, I just confirmed what everybody suspected, but hey, no one had reported. So I said, I'll do it for everybody. I'll do it. And, you know, lo and behold, ESPN College Football Live yesterday, they lead with Arch Manning returning. So anyway, Hummer, we got playoff football. Who do you like? OU, Alabama.
I like Alabama. Sorry. I like Alabama. I don't know if y'all remember that game. Chip's probably too busy being famous on College Football Live to go back and grind the tape like you. But Alabama outgained Oklahoma by about 200 yards the first time and managed to lose. They had three turnovers in that game. They got stopped in the red zone almost every time. Like, they just kind of shot themselves in the foot over and over again. I think they ran out of toes at that point. And I just think it's a game that Alabama's the better team. I've had questions about Oklahoma's offense all year. Yes, it's more difficult to do that in Norman. That first game was in Tuscaloosa, but Alabama, I just have more trust in Alabama. I'm happy to roll with Alabama on the circuit.
Are they healthy enough?
They're not the healthiest, but they are still more talented than Oklahoma, and I can still count on their offense to produce points, at least at a reasonably consistent rate, even though that offense has been kind of suspect in the second half of the year as well. I don't know. Maybe you're talking me out of my own point, but I've been on this island that Oklahoma would get bounced in the playoff very quickly since about week six, and I'm not jumping off of that. I think this Oklahoma team is inherently flawed and is going to struggle against Alabama.
Yeah. What have you seen that's changed with John Mateer since that Texas game, Hummer? Because obviously you could use the thumb as an excuse, but it's beyond that, it seems like. And clearly the running game doesn't help anyone. But John Mateer seemed like a player before the thumb injury that could save the Sooners more than he's doing now. And at times looks like a liability.
Yeah, I think you have to take the thumb injury into account, right? Because if you look at his production the first four games of the year versus everything after, it's been night and day. He's been a totally different quarterback. And I think what you're seeing now is a quarterback who's not as confident, or maybe he isn't spinning it as well as he usually does, but he still has the same tendencies that he did before. He was a gunslinger. He's a risk taker, and that results in some turnover. I mean, he threw three picks against LSU. They should have lost that game, like they did to Texas, because of the way John Mateer played. That defense played well enough to bail him out. But this is a guy who doesn't, frankly, have a ton of help on Oklahoma. The running game hasn't been there all year. It's just an okay offensive line, just okay receivers outside of Isaiah Simtanga. And you see John Mateer try to do too much. And I think when John Mateer tries to do too much, he gets in a little bit of trouble. And we've seen that pop up from time to time this year. And it hasn't really gotten Oklahoma in that much trouble, but it could in the playoffs.
Okay. Have you picked your bracket?
Yeah, I had Ohio State beating Texas Tech in the national championship game.
Ooh. Okay. A lot of Texas Tech love. So
I just think they have the best defensive line in college football. And if you have the best defensive line in college football and really the best front seven in college football, that can take you a really long way.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it. They're giving up 56 what is it? 68.5 yards per game on the ground. That's, you know, I was telling Zay, that's better than what Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy were giving up, you know, in 2023. So
they're outrageously good up front. Like that front seven is, I know people just say it's the Big 12, just the Big 12, but if you put them in the SEC, that front seven, which has probably 5 or 6 draft picks on it, is going to be successful no matter wherever you put them.
Well, Hummer, the crazy thing is you've got 7 playoff teams are the 7 best run defenses. Number 1, Texas Tech. Number 2, James Madison. Number 3, Indiana. Number 4, Georgia. Number 5, Oklahoma. Number 6, Ohio State. Number 7, Miami. Those are the top 7 run defenses in FBS right now. And they're all playoff teams.
I mean, it turns out stopping the run is important. And so, I mean, if you go back to the last couple of national champions, like it's obvious, like Ohio State won a national championship with an elite defense last year. Texas found that out in the game they played against them in the semifinals. That was a really, really good front and controlled the run game. The Georgia's back-to-back national championship teams were both elite, elite run defenses. Like this is a commonality and it's a theme in this era of college football. Like you really do need to be able to stop the run, especially when you see teams play so much cover two, right? Like we don't used to see as much as we do now, but they play the deep ball. Like they dare you to run at them. And if you can stop the run and also prevent deep kind of chunk plays, like through the middle of the field and kind of on the third level, like you're going to be very difficult to score against.
All right. So what happens between A&M and Miami in College Station at 11 a.m.? Boy, did Miami get lucky on that.
Yeah. You know, coming into this game, I was like almost, I was convinced I was going to pick A&M and I ultimately did. But if you dive into the numbers in this game, it's a lot closer than you would anticipate. And I anticipated, and I do agree that 11 a.m. kick is very fortunate for them, the Miami fans. But I think this game comes down to a couple things. One, which quarterback takes care of the ball. We've seen Marcel Reed, including against Texas, be a little loose with it at times. Carson Beck's been really loose with it for 2 years now. He's cost his teams multiple games the last 2 seasons going back to Georgia. And now Miami, whoever runs the ball better is going to have a pretty big advantage here. These are 2 really, really good run defenses. Both run games have been up and down this year. Le'Veon Moss's status is kind of in question with A&M. And then 3, game control. And game control to me, like, is turnovers, an area that Miami's been pretty decent at this year. But it's also decision-making, and, you know, it's Mario Cristobal in late games. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
But I picked the Aggies. It's not a pick I feel great about, but I picked them to cover. I just think they've been slightly better all year, and I trust them a little bit more.
Yeah. So it's Colin Klein calling plays in this game, Homer?
I would be lying. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head. I believe Colin Klein is still working there, but I'm not 100% sure on that, to be honest.
Okay. Let me ask you this about Ohio State, because you just said that's your pick to win the whole thing. Did Indiana expose anything with Ohio State in that Big Ten championship game, or do you think they'll be able to handle it like they did last year after the loss to Michigan and regroup and go on the run?
I think Ohio State's going to be fine generally, but yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it a little bit. Going into that game, I had some questions about Ohio State's ability to run the ball consistently in the offensive line. And I think we saw that against Indiana. They struggled to do that with any consistency, and it cost them, made it more difficult for them to put up points. Julian Sain didn't look as comfortable because he had a little bit more pressure in his face than he's had all year. And not every team is Indiana. Not every team is that sound to get that much pressure on them, but it's certainly a challenge. But the good news is for Ohio State, I mean, Georgia aside, Georgia's a problem. They are in the easier half of the bracket, in my opinion, because they're in the half of the bracket that does not include Oregon and Texas Tech in addition to Georgia. So I think the path is still reasonably favorable for them, but it could absolutely cost them.
Hummer, Chris Bennett wants to know, how badly did John Summerall botch the DJ Lagway interview?
Yeah. So I reported it that the meeting obviously did not go well. It could have definitely gone better. I think the two sides went into the meeting expecting to hear different things, and the messages delivered did not necessarily excite either side of that. I know DJ Lagway didn't necessarily want to leave Florida. I think the expectation going into like late last week was that he was going to stay at Florida, but Summerall kind of pushed him, told him the wrong things, didn't give DJ what he wanted to hear, which was like a plan to develop you, that we're going to let you compete for the job, like this and that. Like Summerall talked about like his competitiveness and like his injury history and his work ethic. And I think Summerall might've got some bad intel from the old staff on the way out the door. And the result is like DJ Lagway is no longer a Florida Gator, which is a shocking, shocking thing. If you think about where we were a year ago when DJ Lagway was just as hyped as Arch Manning in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Okay. So rumors, Baylor, Miami, LSU for DJ Lagway. Do you have a favorite?
I think it's kind of early with all of that. Baylor is obviously where his dad played. He is a Texas native, obviously. There's a lot of ties linking him here. I think of Miami and LSU, Louisville, Stanford, Florida State, like all of these schools can be in play and are going to make a swing at DJ. But he's the guy that comes with this decent share of risk. Like, I mean, DJ Lagway is somebody with number one overall pick upside. I say that without any doubt in my mind. Like, if DJ Lagway is right, he could be the number one overall pick in the 2027 NFL draft. But he's also somebody with an injury history that kind of scares you a little bit and some mechanical issues this year that dragged him down. And he could be like a guy that you pay a lot of money for and miss on. So teams are going to have to balance that.
Yeah. Which G5 school has a better chance of pulling off the upset, Hummer, James Madison, or Tulane?
Tulane does. Not just because they have already played and that gives you some intel you need. It's just like, I think the gap between Oregon and James Madison and the gap between Tulane and Ole Miss is a little closer. I think both of them are pretty significant, but I think Tulane has more of the necessary horses in the line of scrimmage, along the lines of scrimmage, to make it a game. Do I think it will be much of one? No. I mean, if you go watch the first game those two teams played, it wasn't even close. But if I have to pick one of those two, I'm going to pick Tulane as the more likely team to make it a game.
Jake Retzlaff, baby. Come on.
That man looks like he's 44.
It's amazing. It's amazing. What do you any thoughts on Quinn Ewers starting for the Miami Dolphins against the Bengals this week?
I think it's going to be cool to see Quinn. I think he has all the tools to be successful in that offense and the way they run it, but we'll see how that one goes. I think it's probably a very exciting time for him and his family. And it's weird to think he went in the seventh round, but he's getting an opportunity to start in year one of the NFL. And that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. You got one more, Zay?
Yep. Fernando Mendoza went in the Heisman, Hummer. You like it? And your thoughts on how Diego Pavia handled not winning the Heisman?
I would have voted. I mean, I do not have a vote, to be frank. Not all of us can be Chip Brown over here. Right? But I would have voted for Diego Pavia. I really thought he was the best player in college football this year. I think making Vanderbilt a 10-win team is insane. And doing in the SEC is very impressive, but I get why Fernando Mendoza was the pick. As for how he handled it, not very classy, but like Diego is a one-of-one personality, and I mean, I like entertaining players, and he's certainly entertaining.
Hummer, I know you got to bounce. We appreciate you, dog. Let's do it again next week.
Absolutely, guys. Look forward to it.
Right, thanks, Hummer.
There he is, Chris Hummer, hole-in-one Hummer. He is moving and shaking. Make sure you follow him on the social media, Chris_Hummer.
Yeah.
Because he's been all over the portal action. He and Matt Zenitz doing a great job. What was that, Zay?
Yeah, Pavia said, F you guys. F you voters, Chip.
CB says that a voter went at Pavia.
For real? Who was that?
I don't know.
Wasn't anonymous. Come on. CB's don't be anonymous. It. Let it be known that you mad. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Diego. They're going to beat the hell out of Iowa.
I want to get this voter's name because I wonder if he'll have a vote next year. Or she. Let's see here. Chase Goodbread. Chase Goodbread. He's a guy who's covered the SEC, Alabama, for a long time. And Chase Goodbread said, columnist for the Tuscaloosa News, he slammed Pavia. F me, Diego, Goodbread wrote. For the first time, I cast a Heisman Trophy ballot last week, and Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia didn't like it. He called out Pavia's jackassery, quote, end quote, and classless, quote, move.
I would say he's a kid, but he's like 30, so I can't say that. Like, he's a kid. He doesn't know what he's doing, but nah, Diego Pavia is a grown-ass man that's probably too old to be on his parents' health insurance.
Goodbread said, quote, he's a big boy now, old enough to have more than one college degree, old enough to beat the NCAA in court to gain an extra year of eligibility, and old enough to make the pile of NIL money that came with that, old enough to know better, and old enough to handle some criticism. There you go.
Look at Chase speaking up for the voters.
Look at him. Look at him. He's getting after it.
23. Okay, I ain't that old, my man, X-Zay. I ain't that old. But still, come on, Diego.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, man.
He got little man syndrome. He's like 5'9".
Right.
He's a small guy.
I don't know if you're going to talk about this in the right call or not. The NBA Cup.
No, I wasn't, but we could talk about it.
What do you make of this? Because they're talking about, you know, hanging banners for the NBA Cup. It's only 3 years old, right?
Yeah, the Lakers won it 2 years ago. The Bucks won it last year, and the Knicks won it this year. Please don't hang it up. I think the Lakers and the Bucks hung up some banner for a year, though. Just a year. I don't think it's still there, though.
Okay. The Knicks maybe say they won't. I don't know. The Knicks say they won't.
Good for the Knicks.
Good. What? Do you like this?
The NBA Cup?
Yeah.
No, I don't like it at all.
Do you think it's any kind of precursor? Do the guys play harder?
Yeah, because they want to make the however money. Much. Yeah, the six figures. I don't know what it is with taxes, but they want to make it for the guys, the 15th and 14th men. Like, I think it's cool for them, but does Jalen Brunson really need another 100K? You know? That's right. What I'm like. Which, if he gives it out, like, that's one of those, okay, I get this money, I'm going to buy gifts for all my homies on Christmas. Like, hopefully guys like LeBron and Giannis, guys who have won it in the past, hopefully, you know, they spread it out with the team and stuff. Like, that's the only reason why it's cool. But besides that, I'm good without it.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
NBA games are still going on. It's just not last night. So,
how you feeling about my Pistons?
Good. Really good. Really good. Those dudes, like Cade Cunningham, there's a reason why he was the former number one pick. He's just gliding out there. Like, he doesn't look like he's breaking a sweat ever. He's gigantic. People forget he's 6'7", 6'8". His ball handling skills are ridiculous. The other night, he hit a dagger on Derek White. Derek White's one of the best defenders in the league for the Celtics. And he gets in the lane. He puts Derek White on his hip like he's a little baby. And he does this, like, spin move step back that was as smooth as a Curtis Mayfield pimped out jacket. And he knocks down the jumper and is just not fazed. He's a Dallas, Texas kid that's just not phased. And they got a lot of good pieces. Tobias Harris is playing good in his role. We talked about Duncan Robinson being that shooter that they needed last year that they didn't have. Jalen Duren is one of the most versatile bigs in the league. They deserve all the success that they're getting right now. And this is a perfect time to rule the East. Halliburton, not available. Tatum, not available. So this is the year that, hey, the East, got to capitalize on it. Knicks, Pistons, you got to take advantage of these injuries right now. Giannis got problems in Milwaukee. I know nobody's really touching the Thunder, but if you're in the East and you make it out, you're going to be a lot fresher than the team that makes it out in the West, in my opinion. So, yeah, shout out to the Pistons. Shout out to Thompson Twin. He's a problem, but it starts with Cade Cunningham, who is going to be a first-team All-NBAer this season.
All right. Let's go.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can't have it all, Chip. Like, you talk about your Lions being down, but look at the bright side. The Pistons are up. You know, that's just.
Yeah, Tigers had it all, lost it all, got it back, then lost it all again. But hey, at least they're getting into these playoff situations. The Lions, I need the Packers to collapse. I need them to collapse.
What about my man, Matthew Golden?
How's Matt Golden doing? Let's take a look-see.
Kind of been a struggle, not going to lie.
Let's see how Matthew Golden's doing. I like Matthew Golden.
I love Matthew Golden. Barron Sorrell, too.
Yeah. Barron Sorrell, how's he doing? All right, so Matt Golden, 27 catches, 341 yards, no touchdowns.
Damn, not one? Gunnar Helms over here breaking Tennessee Titans record.
Gunnar Helm broke the rookie receptions record for the Tennessee Titans. He got 41 catches. Guess whose record he broke?
Bo Scaife
had the rookie tight ends receptions record of 37 back when he was catching passes from Vince Young in the early 2000s with the Tennessee Titans. Here comes Gunnar Helm. G Helm, baby.
Yeah.
Don't count him out.
Something has to go positive for Tennessee. It's been a rough one. Poor Cam Ward. I feel bad for that dude. But this is what comes with being the number one pick. Your team's going to suck. That's why they're the number one pick in the first place. You just got to stick with it.
Gunnar Helm, 41 catches, 347 yards, 2 touchdowns. Let's go. Okay. Rookie. That guy's going to be a player. That guy's going to be a player. I'm just telling you. He's the next Jake Ferguson, you know?
That's not a bad driver.
Dalton Schultz.
My man Ferguson getting married to Cavender soon. Jake Ferguson's got it made. Good living. Have you been watching Hard Knocks NFC East?
A little bit.
It's
I missed last night's.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. They were all talking about Phillip Rivers.
Were they?
Dak was talking about, Phillip Rivers and Dak actually, he knew some stuff. Like he kind of looked into it. He knew, I don't know if he knew that Drew Brees was the last guy to, I don't know. It was interesting. I just saw like a little clip of it and They were going from the Cowboys talking about Phillip Rivers to the Redskins talking about Phillip Rivers to the Eagles. So that was the hot topic.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I'm not called up, so I got to catch up. But what I've seen so far, it's been good. It's been good. I mean, Giants and Commanders suck, but Cowboys aren't that good either. But still, it's still cool. Like, I love Hard Knocks. I love that the NFL does that. Give me all the backstage access you could possibly get. Like, I want to see what's really going on. So,
yeah.
And plus, it gives me a different perspective on guys that I wouldn't really think are good guys, you know, from an outside view. Like, Nick Sirianni, like, he's not great, but I like him a lot more than I did before watching this. You know, so I can appreciate what Hard Knocks does and making people more personable.
Yeah. What's the best season of Hard Knocks you've ever seen?
I don't know. That's a good one.
I mean,
nothing really sticks out.
They did the Lions a couple of years ago. That was awesome. Remember when they did the Jets in old boy Rex was the coach? Ryan. Yeah, Rex Ryan.
Kind of.
Let's go eat a goddamn snack. I'll never forget that quote. He was like all fired up talking about stuff. And he's like, now let's go eat a goddamn snack. He was like, okay, we don't know how to turn it off. We'll just go cussing into our snack.
Yeah,
that I didn't know they had snack time either. I didn't know they had snack time.
I mean, you got to fuel up.
Right.
They like slam a million Uncrustables a year. I forgot the stat on that.
What now?
There's a crazy stat on how many Uncrustables, the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches without the crust that you can get in the freezer section of grocery stores. The NFL makes a killing, or they make a killing off the NFL, because I don't know the stat. Let me look it up on the Googles. Oh man.
Wow. That's a nugget.
Right?
That's a nugget.
Over 80,000 Uncrustables a season. Individual teams are consuming anywhere from 3,600 to 4,300 weekly during peak times like training camps, games. They are very popular to fuel the players.
How about that?
Crazy. They slam. I can't even front. They hit like the strawberry ones, grape. If you ever on the run, they slam, because I'm not a big, especially on peanut butter and jelly. I'm never a big crust guy. If I mean like a turkey sandwich or something like that, I'm cool with the crust. But PB&J, I never liked the crust on PB&J. It was weird. I always used to take it off as a kid. So when the Uncrustables came out, I'm sure my mom was pissed that they came out later than when I stopped getting my lunch made for me, because that would have saved her a lot of time, man, just throwing a couple of Uncrustables in the bag. I'm sure parents everywhere definitely thriving from the Uncrustable game.
I love it.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a little. And they got, what's the sun butter? What's the other butter if you're allergic to peanuts?
What's almond butter?
No, it's still a nut. There's a certain butter that tastes like peanut butter. I can't think of it right now. But it's a substitute for the ones who are allergic. They got those two.
Okay.
So, okay. Yeah.
All right, let's get a couple mentions in here, and we'll get going toward the commentary, the chip shot, the right call. And, hey, how about this? How about treating yourself to better health this holiday season? Thanks to Human with two N's. Human, they're scientific-based formulas born from research right at the University of Texas Health Science Center, and these are high-end formulas. We're talking about high-end health supplements that you can't get anywhere else. And Human's making healthy living easier for all of us, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s. Human's making it easier for you to manage your blood flow and vascular health with the cardiovascular health daily. And this is important. Write these down, because I got three of these for you to take every day. The metabolic health daily, which is going to, you know, help manage your blood sugar, even a little bit of weight management, because you're going to feel fuller longer. And then healthy cholesterol, the Human healthy cholesterol daily. Look, you take these three, the cardiovascular, metabolic, and cholesterol from Human, you're going to feel better. You're going to feel better. And don't forget about the Super Beats Heart Chews, because of course, Human's beet-based formula is the number one recommended by cardiologists. If you've had any kind of issue with blood pressure, you want to be on the Super Beats Heart Chews, because it's going to help you regulate your blood pressure two times more effectively than just diet and exercise alone. Again, these are high-end scientific formulas, a lot of them based in the beet root, the beet extracts that Human has, you know, perfected. And that's what it's all about. Science-backed formulas that are helping you to feel better, live longer. That's what I'm absolutely banking on. And don't forget about the turmeric chews, anti-inflammation. What causes us pain when we go work out or we extend ourselves? Inflammation. The turmeric heart chews gonna help you regulate that. And I take the Super Beats powder, the Super Beats sports powder. That's what all the UT athletes take. I take it about 30 minutes before I go work out. Here's the beautiful thing. You go to humanwith2ns.com/TSU. Use the promo code TSU. You're going to get 20% off your first order. So load up, because there is a 90-day money-back guarantee. You're going to want to let the products get into your system. Make sure you're feeling what I'm feeling, which is healthier. No brain fog. It's a beautiful thing. Go to humanwith2ns.com/TSU and use the promo code TSU to get 20% off your first order. Load up this Christmas season. You know what I'm saying? And hey, for my guys who are snoring, how about giving the gift of no snoring? Here's all you have to do. You heard me talk about the Sleep Cycle Center, Dr. Chad Denman, who's dedicated his life to treating sleep apnea, which is a lack of oxygen while you sleep, which is really scary because you don't even know you're suffering from it. That's why you need a sleep study. So you go to sleepcyclecenters.com. You tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you, and Dr. Chad is going to take $100 off your sleep study, practically give it away, so that you get the information you need. That sleep study is going to tell you what level of sleep apnea you have, if you have it. And Dr. Chad has the best treatment options, which, you know, from oral appliances like I have, a mouth guard that holds my lower jaw open when I sleep, so I get that oxygen, get that deep sleep, wake up rested. If you're waking up cranky and irritable, it's probably because you're waking yourself up from snoring and you might have sleep apnea. Again, go to sleepcyclecenters.com. Tell them Texas Sports Unfiltered sent you. And get over to Cover 3. Cover 3, you got all kinds of games to watch this week. And playoffs, got college football playoff Friday. You got Saturday, you got NFL. It's a beautiful time of year, this holiday season, to get over to Cover 3, Cover 3 Anderson, Cover Three Round Rock. Enjoy that Sean Adams prime rib sandwich with the Parmesan fries. Go for happy hour. Happy hour, 3:30 to 6:30 every day. 3:30 to close on Mondays. And the $7 social hour menu, kidding me? You're getting the firecracker shrimp for $7? Yeah, Cover Three. And hey, you ready for the big screen of your dreams? Only one number to call in Austin. That is our man, Tom McKay, AV Consultations. You call 255-8678. Again, 255-8678. Tom and his crew are going to bring everything to you, including the best price on big screens. So treat yourself. If your big screen isn't big enough for you to feel like you're on the sideline at the game, it might be time. It might be time for you to call Tom McKay and AV Consultations. 255-8678. All right. For the chip shot today, got a couple things, I am fascinated by the college football playoff. I mean, I'm fascinated because I think there are some interesting matchups, but I'm not, I mean, I'm sitting here going, I don't think they got the best teams in. I don't think they got the best teams into this playoff. But what are you going to do? This is what we got. So this is what I'm trying to size up. And I just keep coming back to this. I think Kalen DeBoer is a better head coach than Brent Venables. Now, is Alabama healthy enough to go on the road and win this game? That's my only question, because Ty Simpson, I know he's not 100%. And he was killing it the first, you know, eight games of this season. Last four, not good. But I think Kalen DeBoer is a better coach than Brent Venables, so I'm going to pick Alabama to win this game. And Texas A&M and Miami, I'm fascinated by this because Miami, and this is what kills me about Miami. Miami on paper looks like a juggernaut. Their offensive line is good. Their deep run defense is top seven. They've got Carson Beck, who's a veteran. He's played in big games. Hasn't always won them, but he's played in big games. He's capable. Let's put it that way. But I don't trust Mario Cristobal. I don't trust him. I know Colin Klein's distracted, but Marcel Reed at home has been pretty good this year. So I'm going to take A&M to beat the Miami Hurricanes. And I'm hoping James Madison, I've already said I'm taking James Madison to cover the 21 against Oregon. Tulane, I don't know about. That whole game is a mess. I got the Lane Kiffin-less Ole Miss Rebels against John Summerall and Jake Retzlaff. I know that Ole Miss beat him 45-7 earlier in the year. Tulane's going to come out firing. Jake Retzlaff is good enough to lead that offense to some points. I don't know if they cover, but I just hope we get a good game there. And then we'll talk about the semifinals on Monday. But I like Alabama and Texas A&M. And I think Oregon pulls it out against James Madison, and Ole Miss with Kewon Lacy. And who's your Trinidaddy Chambliss? Get it done. But I don't think they got the best teams in.
Okay. I agree. not the best teams in either, but here we are. Which is a good segue to what I got for the right call, because I got to play a video. Steve Sarkisian going at the committee probably one last time before the season ends. But before we get to that, shout out to Covert BK, family owned and operated. It's Christmas time, and hey, what's a better Christmas present than getting a new car or a used car that's basically new at Covert BK? They're the best, man. Not about the quotas, not about the sales. They want you to be in a car that you're comfortable with. They want you to leave the lot feeling satisfied and not like you got duped or like you got someone pulled a fast one on you. That's not how Covert BK works. Trust me, I know. We got our Buick Encore GX there in the process. It couldn't have been more lovely. We took their time, and hey, it was just easy. We took our time, got in there, we had questions. Buku amount of questions. They answered all of them. We came back the next day and we found our car and went home. Happy campers. So you could be like us too. If you want to start early, go to covertbk.com and see all the latest specials and inventory. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. All right, Chip, shout out to our guy, Corey Mose of K-View. Corey does a terrific job. He got this video, Steve Sarkisian in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl, talks about where his team is and if he's disappointed still not making the college football playoff and what he wants to see changed and what his thoughts are on this year's committee.
Well, I think the first thing that needs to happen is we need to get clear criteria for what the committee is looking for. And not only clear criteria on what the committee is looking for, who's on the committee, and that they agree to that's the criteria. And I think that's part of the CFP's got a criteria. We form a committee. Does that committee, the people that are on that committee, agree to that criteria? And if part of the criteria, or if one of the main points, as in this year, you look at the principles of the CFP, the first bullet point is strength of schedule, then we need to honor what the criteria and what the principles are of the CFP. And so I think that's the first part. If we can lay the foundation for that, then that will directly impact what we do moving forward. And then they have to follow through with what they say is important to them. Clearly this year we didn't feel like they followed through with what the principles of the CFP were. That's why we fought for our case, and I don't feel bad about fighting for our case for the team that we had. And we played five top 10 ranked teams in 12 regular season games. And so, hey, we played a tough schedule. We didn't win them all. We lost you know, a few of those games. I think we went 3-2 in the top 10 or whatever it was, which is a heck of a schedule to have and the record to have when some teams that made it in played one or no top 10 teams. But all I'm saying, for speaking on behalf of, I'm sure, every coach in the country, tell us what the criteria is and then stick to the criteria. And if we're not going to value strength of schedule, then surely that's going to adjust what we do moving forward in our non-conference scheduling. We're going to 9 SEC conference games, which is unheard of, right? And so to think that we're going to play a 10th game against an Ohio State, a Michigan, and who knows else down the road, man, I hope we get credit for that. If not, then we really need to look, you know, after the 27 season, because we're going to honor the Ohio State and the Michigan games with them coming back to DKR, but we need to look long and hard at that. And so we've got a 2-year snapshot now coming up of what is the committee really looking at and what do they value. If it's just records, then everyone's going to race to the best record. If it's quality football teams and who are the best football teams, irregardless of what your record says you are, then that's going to change some things. So we'll see how it goes. We've got time, but I think some very important people have some big decisions to make on what is the criteria of the college football playoff.
Yes, Steve, keep it real with them. They lied. They lied straight up. Like, I know he's tired of talking about it, but you can't say one thing, and then when it's time to make a decision, not even stay on that one thing that you said a long time ago, strength of schedule. When it comes to Texas, we ain't talking about strength of schedule. Head to head. When it comes to Texas, we ain't talking about head to heads. Are we, Oklahoma, A&M? So, yeah, I know Sark's annoyed. I know You know, he's trying to move forward, but like, can we have some type of reassurance that this isn't going to continue to happen year after year? Because he said it like, you're basically playing a 10-game SEC schedule. Ohio State, they're basically an SEC team. So are they going to get penalized for that? Because they were this year. Say what you want about Florida. I don't think they took into account that Florida's going to have guys go to the NFL, and that's one of the toughest places to play in all of college football. They just looked at the records. So, yeah, like Sark, I'm with everything he just said. We've been talking about it since they made the college football playoff and before, when we could kind of see where it was heading due to where Texas was placed, that they were going to get hosed like they did. And, yeah, just keep it real. Like, be 100. Stop reneging on stuff, because that's trash, committee. And how they did it this year, I get that they had to end up with James Madison and freaking Tulane, but golly, it is as bad as it's been. And yeah, Steve Sarkisian has every right to say what he just said in that 2.5-minute clip right there.
Yeah. And what I took from that is Texas is very serious about keeping their options open on the Notre Dame series in 28 and 29. And I know for a fact that he and Del Conte have agreed, let's see how these two seasons go, 26 and 27, because you're playing Ohio State at home, you're playing Michigan at home. You want to get the home end of those series. You played the road games, now at least get the home games. And then, you know, everything up after that is up for discussion, Steve Sarkisian said, and that would be the Notre Dame series in 28 and 29. Sarkisian didn't even mention Notre Dame. He just said, you know, we're going to honor the Ohio State and Michigan games next 2 years, and then after that, we'll see what life with nine SEC games looks like, and if that's something, and we'll see how the committee is evaluating teams. But that Notre Dame series is looking fragile. I would almost lean toward the odds are starting to be against it.
Yeah. F Notre Dame, scary asses.
Yeah, why help their record?
Yeah, they ain't going to be playing those weak-ass teams anyway. Like, we're independent. We're so special. Oh, we didn't make the college football playoff. We don't want to play in the bowl game. We want to stick it to the committee. Okay, soft. Soft. They are soft. Anyways, so we already talked about the Knicks winning the NBA Cup yesterday. Congrats to the Knicks. Big deal. They got their money. Whatever.
$500K per man?
I don't know what it is. I thought it was just like 100K, but damn, 500K. That's some solid Skrilla. Okay, so the Knicks are pretty unserious. They have a lot of fun. Remember, these guys, a lot of them went to college together. They call them the Villanova Knicks. Brunson, Josh Hart, Bridges. They used to have DiVincenzo. They shipped him off for the Karl Anthony Towns trade. But either way, they have a lot of fun, to where it's kind of like a college feel because they've known each other since college. And, you know, guys, we're stupid. Like, we mess around a lot, some little more than others. There were some times where I had to separate myself from my teammates because they were out of control. Kind of like what Josh Hart did last night after the game, where they're hoisting up their trophy. Josh Hart thinks that it's a good idea to stick his thumb in Jalen Brunson's ass as a joke. I have to make that clear, as a joke. But it was just a very odd thing to do. knowing that there's cameras everywhere. Jalen Brunson wasn't having it, man. As you see in the video, Jalen Brunson, he realized he couldn't steal off on Josh Hart because, hey, there's TVs everywhere. But Josh Hart, man, that's out of pocket, dog. That's out of pocket. And I don't think anything's going to happen to him. You can't find the guy. But also, I'm sure the Knicks are going to be like, Josh, chill, dude. Chill. When the cameras are off, y'all do whatever the hell y'all got to do. Whatever. But when the cameras are on, let's chill with all this. Because, again, this, I know some folks are like, yo, this is really outlandish. It is, but we've all been on different teams. There's guys that are just like this that have fun. I didn't have no fun with this. This ain't my style of fun. But I ain't going to lie. I saw this a lot on my former teams, and I laughed. Because this shit's funny, and I laughed when I saw this. But, yeah.
Oh, my God. Now I'm like, what the hell is Josh Hart's deal?
Oh, yo, he's a weird guy. He's also the same guy that said he's drank his wife's breast milk before and was doing all that when he was talking about it, saying, like, it's not bad. So he's different. He's a different dude. Great role player. One of the best role players in the league. Like, great rebounder, good defender, will knock down a big shot, will get you a big bucket, plays very well off Jalen Brunson. Again, they went to Villanova together. They've been friends for a very long time, so they have a good chemistry. He played for Jay Wright, so he knows the game. Off the court, weird guy. Weird guy. You know, like, he answered the question yesterday when they asked him, what do you think of Jalen Brunson? Or I'm paraphrasing, some sort of question like that. And he was like, inch by inch, he's one of the best players in the league, or the best player in the league. Inch by inch. Like, why would you say it like that? Like, you know you're a troll. Like, that's what he's doing. He's trolling. Because no one uses words like inch by inch to describe any basketball player. But it sounds a little sus. So Josh Hart, he likes to push the limits, to say the least. He likes to push the limits a little bit.
Oh, God.
On another note, as we all expected, more and more news has come out about the Chris Paul situation on why he got sent home by the LA Clippers, a team that is going to hang his jersey in the rafters when it's all said and done. Apparently, Chris Paul and the second unit, when they would practice, they would beat the starters on a day-to-day basis. Like, whenever they went ones versus twos, ones being James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, guys of that nature, other future Hall of Famers, and old-ass 40-something-year-old Chris Paul, the second teamers would win a lot of those games. And you know Chris Paul, he ain't a quiet guy. So he's going to let you know when he's whooping your ass, especially in practice situations. That's just the competitive nature of him. So clearly, Chip, that didn't go well with the rest of the team. During Halloween, Chris Paul hosted a party. Nobody showed up. Barely any of his Clippers teammates showed up at his party, which these are pretty famous parties. Like, Chris Paul Halloween parties, that was something that was very popular on those Doc River-led Clippers teams with Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, and J.J. Redick. They used to go to those, but not now. They weren't going to Chris Paul's parties now. Jeff Van Gundy apparently had to tell him, yo, man, you don't got the same pool like you used to. Chill. Chill. Chris Paul tried to make an adjustment defensively. They said, no, Chris. We don't need your help right here, bruh. We got this. You're a Hall of Famer. You don't know what you're talking about. you're not one of the best point guards to ever touch a basketball and somehow made a life and succeeded at 6 foot, which I don't even think he's 6 foot. Chris Paul's 5'10". Let's keep it real. That dude's probably 5'10", 5'11" on a good day. But he don't know what he's talking about. These guys, they're too big to listen to that. They're too good to listen to what Chris Paul is bringing to the table. So get rid of him. He's whooping our ass in practice. We don't want to go to his Halloween parties. He's trying to coach us up. He's trying to be a leader. We don't like that. We're 5 and freaking 20-something. But what Chris Paul's trying to do is too much. It's just too – it grinds my gears. He's the problem. I can't believe I will never get over that story. I'll never get over it. Like, I know Chris Paul's not the coolest guy. I know he's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. I get that. But also
– You're pissed that they cut him.
Yeah. And
you would rather he would have just languished on the bench until the end of the year, and then he could retire gracefully.
Well, my thing is – they make it like he's not allowed to say anything because he doesn't have it anymore. That's my biggest issue. But he had it before on the highest level you could possibly have it as a point guard. Not too many have been on the level of Chris Paul at their peak. You know, we're talking about Stockton and Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson and Stephen Curry, Isaiah Thomas. Only a select few have been on that level of superstardom at the point guard position. So if Chris Paul's talking, I'm going to listen, man. I don't care if I'm Kawhi. I don't care if I'm Tyronn Lue. I don't care if I'm James Harden. I don't care if I'm Jeff Van Gundy. I'm going to allow him to speak. Now, I don't want him disrespecting anybody. I don't want him, you know, calling anybody out their name where you're going to have to break up fights and squabbles because somebody, you know, got pushed over the edge by something Chris Paul said. But I don't think he did anything like that. Now, he probably was talking crazy when they were whooping the first team's ass, you know, playing ones versus twos. Like, Chris Paul was probably talking crazy. And if that rubs guys the wrong way, then, man, y'all are soft, and I don't want you on my team anyways. There's a reason why you're one of the worst teams in the league, if that's an issue. But it's always something going on with Kawhi. And maybe this was to take all the attention off the Pablo Torre story with Kawhi and Steve Ballmer, because they did a good job with that. Nobody, with all this stuff with Chris Paul, we've kind of forgotten about the Kawhi Leonard situation and if they're cheating by making up this random company to give Kawhi some extra Skrilla that he shouldn't be getting. But yeah, man, like news is going to continue to come out on this Chris Paul story. I'm going to need a 30 for 30 or something like that years to come. I can't wait till Chris Paul retires where he can actually tell his truth, write a book, something, because he deserves to do that. Like, they got to hang his jersey at some point. And now they've stained the relationship where what's that going to look like when it's time to do that? Is he going to want that? Because New Orleans, he's good in New Orleans. They're going to hang his jersey. But the Clippers, that's where most people remember Chris Paul, his time with Los Angeles. And the way that he went out, it's sad. It's sad.
Yeah. It'd be like the Lakers cutting Magic at the end of his career.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, no, but something like that. Something like that. It's close. It's close.
That's what you're most upset about, though, right? That a team that's going to hang his banner or jersey in the banner in the rafters cut the guy instead of letting him finish out the year and retire gracefully.
Yeah. Like, that's it. That's it.
So. All right, let's open up the gym. Let's bring in Patrick and Matt. What up, fellas?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, how we doing?
the Chris Paul thing is the really frustrating part is you just watched two great players in Kawhi Leonard and James Harden go to a billionaire and basically be, hey, just give us more money than we're allowed to get by the cap to suck at basketball, ruin basketball for the Clippers fans, and just literally not try. And someone came in and tried, and they went, God, we got to get rid of him. He's annoying us, trying to try to win basketball games. That's what's frustrating. Is Steve Ballmer wants to win. They're like, okay, cut James Harden, cut Kawhi Leonard, go build a real basketball team. If those two guys ain't showing up to practice, fine them, suspend them. Like, be a hard ass, because there's two ways to be in the NBA. You can be someone to have James Harden on your team, or you can try and win a championship. Two options.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard Kawhi Leonard won two championships and left both teams because they made him work. He wanted to go sit in his house in San Diego. He don't like basketball. James Harden, like Kawhi Leonard and James Harden will be two dudes in the year 2050 who haven't touched a basketball in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, they're just those dudes. And you can't win championships if your two superstars both don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Same thing with Paul George. Paul George won't be there. Go get somebody who wants to play basketball, like Chris Paul, who's pushing 40 and still wants to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's synonymous with all those guys? They're all LA guys, too. Yeah. So all they're so comfortable being at home, familiar faces, kinfolk, and sometimes that's not always good.
No. No, it's not. It's not always good.
See you guys. Have a good
day.